numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander to my left. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. My little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody. You know, a little toddler wave there.
Yeah, a little toddler wave.
No, a toddler wave is like that. I'm sorry. There you go, like that. The Dame Lillard one when he hit the game winner. He did that. Are you good? All good? This is a good show today.
I'm good, man. Great show today. I'm exhausted. I did that whole thing where I woke up at like 2 a.m. and then couldn't fall back asleep. So good times. Gil was up early, too. Saw him in the rundown working early.
I sat there at the South Point all day yesterday with Wishnev, college basketball betting.
So that's the spot?
That's where we were yesterday.
Ooh.
I don't know where we'll be today. Yeah. But yes, I got up early, made a bet here, which I'll talk about here momentarily. On this hour alone, Matty Cox on college basketball conference tournaments today, full swing, right? Everybody's playing today, with the exception of the Ivy League. They're all going today. Is the exception of the Ivy and someone else? The MAC also doesn't start today yet, right? The MAC and the Ivy are the only two that don't start yet. But everybody else playing, including the SEC conference tournament championship beginning today, Mountain West, MEAC, the Big West right here at the lovely Dollar Loan Center with Ben Wilson on the call.
No way.
Well, he's doing the WAC. I'm not sure if he's doing the Big West. He's doing the WAC at the Orleans. Maybe he's not. He used to do the Big West in the Dollar Loan
because then that's definitely worth a drive out there. If Ben's there as well.
Yeah, I think he's doing the whack at the Orleans, he told us. Big East begins today. Big 10, of course. Did I mention that? Atlantic 10, American Athletic. So Matty Cox from Three Man Weave, JVT, who typically comes on here and talks NBA with us, but he's got a bunch of college basketball as well. I'm sure he'll have Mountain West thoughts.
Did the Mountain West write-up, yep, for VSiN.com.
So we'll get
free.
We'll do all that. Besides the big dance, doesn't get any better than this in college basketball today. Players Championship. The Players Championship in golf. Golf's de facto fifth major. The PGA Tour's major, if you will. Kelly's got his plays coming up on the show as well. And that doesn't even include the second hour where Paulie Sporer will give us some of his season-long individual plays in baseball. Jason Weingarten will do all that next hour as well. I would like to begin, because we have so many guests, with the tennis. And then I made a baseball March, April play this morning.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that momentarily. Let's get the tennis out of the way. Tennis yesterday, we split. Lost on Yosuke Watanuki, who was up 4-2 in a first set tiebreaker against Talon Griekspoor, and then he gacked it, and that was the end of that. He got rolled in the second set. But we won handily on Mira Andreeva last night, who rolled the number 7 player in the world, Elena Rybakina. What was it, 1-2, I think she beat her? 6-1, 6-2?
I just got a final alert on my phone, Gil, that said cash money, basically.
Yeah, but it's a split for us. And we finally lost a future yesterday. So the future where we had Osaka and Pegula, we're out of that quarter. That quarter is Bencic still alive, which you jumped on as well.
I'm on Bencic with you, yep.
Bencic is playing Corey Gauff today, Coco Gauff. And
big one.
We obviously have Iga, who, talk about 58 minutes. She beat the number 15 player in the world yesterday, Breadstick.
That was one of those girls. I'm at the desk working, and I'm like, oh, Iga's starting. And by the time I thought to check it again, yeah, I was like, and it's over.
Karolina Muchova, who is a great player, just rolled. So it's an awesome tournament there in Palm Springs, or in Indian Wells specifically. I have 3 bets. In the second round, the second half of the round of 16 today, the aforementioned Belinda Bencic, who, by the way, I did not get as nearly good of a number had I given this pick out yesterday, right? She's minus 105 is where I got her against Coco. Taking Taylor Fritz, the number 1 American player in the world on the men's side, plus 111 against Jack Draper. And then on a spread bet, Soné Kartal, plus 6.5. Plus 6.5 games against Aryna Sabalenka. Kartal's numbers are great on hards. Sabalenka should take care of her, but I think Kartal keeps it close enough to cover the 6.5. All these, again, VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. Got those last night. So 3 plays in tennis. Bencic, Fritz, Kartal plus the games.
I like it. Hopefully we can middle that one, because I bet Sabalenka quarter as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Get your 6.5 on.
Cake quarter for Arena.
Yeah.
As she tries to get to the quarterfinals. Okay. Now, here's the Diliosis. For those who are new to this show, specifically those who are listening on SiriusXM 158, maybe after all these years back on the show, but we have had a little cottage industry. Would you call it a little cottage industry on this show? Of betting monthly most win markets in Major League Baseball. Last year was the first year where we had two sports books that did these monthly, namely William Hill Caesars, William Hill / Caesars, and Circa did these every month. DraftKings did it for the first month, which was March, April. Now, the first thing you have to know about this is, and by the way, our record last year was, we came one out, literally one out away from winning a 65-1 on the Cleveland Guardians last year in March, April. That was heartbreaking. We came one game away from winning, one win away from winning it on the Guardians in May. And then we won in June. We hit the Houston Astros 25-1 at William Hill, 17-1 at Circa. So it made it all worthwhile. We did not win. We did not come particularly close after that in July, August, or September. Okay.
Those first few months were a fun sweat, though,
the
man.
The first half of the season was unbelievable. So now the first thing you have to know about this, and by the way, this is what I love about baseball, and the only thing I've given out so far is I'm on the Cleveland Guardians under, right? That was my favorite season win total of the year. But this is essentially, so this is the second thing I'm giving out for the baseball season longs. And the beauty of baseball betting is there's so many different markets, right? Individual and team. Some of these, you know, books like DraftKings, particularly, they've got markets, first team to 10 wins, first team to 20 wins. This is the monthly, what I'm talking about. Now, you have to know the rules. You have to know the details for all three of these books that are doing it. In the case of, so first of all, in the case of William Hill / Caesars, William Hill Caesars, they have decided not to include the March games. So the Major League Baseball season, with the exception of the two Cubs-Dodgers games, which take place March 17th and March 18th, the Major League Baseball season for everybody else begins on March 27th, okay? William Hill's month bet does not have anything to do with March. It is just April wins. So from April 1st to April 30th. So that's the first thing you have to know.
Looks like that's the case of DraftKings, too.
DraftKings is just April as well?
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm just noticing it says April on everything.
I had in my notes, I had DraftKings was March, April, but maybe you're right. Okay, so Circa is March, April. Circa is March, April, meaning it includes all the games that take place in March, which the first instinct will be for folks to be like, oh, well, the Dodgers and Cubs get those two early games, so they've got more opportunities to get the wins. Now, the biggest thing you need to know about all this is what the tiebreaker is, right? Because you're dealing with a small sample size of total games, right? One month and change of games here. So you need to know what the tiebreaker is, because ties are maybe not probable, but they're likely, right? They're very possible, and we've had ties. So at William Hill, / Caesars, they go to a dead heat, right? So if you go, let's say, I don't know, 20-10, let's just make it easy. If two teams finish 20-10, or excuse me, one team finishes 20-10 and another finishes 20-9, it's a dead heat, it's a tie. There's no differentiation there between the record. It's just the fact that they both got 20 wins.
Right.
At Circa, there are other, it's not a dead heat. The first tiebreaker is fewest wins along with your tied wins, if you will. Fewest losses with your wins. And then the second tiebreaker would be run differential if you ended up with the exact same record. So if you ended up both 20-10, right, a 20-9 beats a 20-10 at Circa. But if you both ended up 20-10, it would go to run differential as the second tiebreaker. So, and by the way, I don't know what the tiebreaker is at DraftKings. I need a ruling on that. I don't know if the tiebreaker at DraftKings is dead heat, because remember, they only did it for the first month last year.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't remember if they were if they were, you know, any creative.
I want to say dead heat, but you're right. They only did it for that one month. I don't remember.
So cutting to the chase then, DraftKings was the first to post this. A lot of great listeners here to the show let us know that. But nothing was here available in Vegas. Then Eric Biggio from William Hill tweeted us yesterday, said, hey, ours are up, April only. And then this morning, I happened to just be dilly-dallying, as one does in the morning before the show, and I'm like, oh, Circa's got him up. Look at Circa's sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear, putting it in there. So I love the ones that are not the one that is not a dead heat. Circa is my preference because that adds a layer to the handicap. And so the next thing you need to know is how many games these teams are playing. And at Circa, if you play two fewer games than another team you're worried about beating you, it's not as big of a deal, right? Not as big of a deal because it could actually benefit you with fewer losses. So I ended up betting at Circa, where again the tiebreaker is fewest losses followed by run differential, and I ended up going with the Minnesota Twins. The Minnesota Twins at 15-1 is my play. They play the White Sox six times. And depending on how you sort of rate this, by the way, some people will say, hey, the Red Sox play the White Sox seven times. White Sox being sort of the way I start this, being by far considered to be, both by season win total, both by pagoda projection, the worst team in baseball. So some people say, why not take the Red Sox? Well, one, they're half the price, right? They're only like 7-1 or 8-1. But the other thing is, with the Twins, if I do it by, if I break down the average, the aggregate sort of season win of opponents, if I do it by season wins, the Red Sox have a slight advantage. They're playing an aggregate group of opponents in 32 games of 76.3. The Twins in aggregate in 31 games are playing an aggregate of 77.89. So not a huge difference in terms of the aggregate season win average, if you will, of the opponents. If I do it by pagoda, it is a bigger advantage for the Minnesota Twins. They have a they play opponents with a average season win of 78.68, whereas the Red Sox would play an average of average opponents of 79.47 in terms of season wins. Plus, again, the Red Sox in season wins are 86.5. The Twins are 84.5. Keep in mind, we're only talking about 1 month, but just as a general sort of barometer. But at pagoda, Twins are 87. They're an 87-win team, whereas the Red Sox are only an 80, a 79.8-win team. Anyway, in the wash, and we'll get to more of this tomorrow, but this is my quick read. Twins are the bet. That's what I did. 15-1 at Circa today.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out articles like conference tournament previews for the Big East, Big Ten, SEC, A-10, ACC, Big West, and MEAC. Most of those begin today. Greg Peterson's best bets in college basketball. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best bets in the NBA, Jonathan Davis's best bets in the NHL, and Steve Mackinnon's NBA analytics report. All articles, access to them at VSiN.com for free. That is free. Don't cost you nothing. Through Selection Sunday, that's this Sunday, at VSiN.com/champweek. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. We get tweets at Biddy the Book. Always appreciated. First of all, Trip Tepper yesterday talking about college hoops. I could not agree more with this, Trip. Can we get a numbers game investigation on this Big 12 tourney court design? Who signed off on this visual nightmare? It was like playing basketball on my mom's kitchen floor linoleum tile as a child. I was like, what is that?
I don't know why we need to overthink these things.
About the baseball monthly, clarification from listeners. 3JackH3131, DraftKings says by end of April, so I was correct. DraftKings is a March April.
Yeah, threw me off. I was going to make that correction here.
So DraftKings is March April. William Hill Caesars is March April. William Hill Caesars is April, and Circa is March April. So only William Hill Caesars is April alone.
Good job, though, 3Jack. He snap called me on that.
And then Justin D, JD Terp 23, he says, and it's a dead heat, too. Dead heat as well at DraftKings. So dead heat at DraftKings, dead heat at William Hill, only the tiebreakers at Circa. So, and then Jeff Schwartz adds, not our Jeff Schwartz, but someone else's Jeff Schwartz, Jeff with a J, not Geoff. On DraftKings, he said the Twins are 16-1, not 15-1, where I got it. On the ticket, it says if multiple teams record the same number of wins in the listed calendar month, dead heat rules apply. Yeah, but I don't want to play the 16-1 there. I'd prefer the 15-1 at Circa because I don't want a dead heat. I want the Twins with 31 games as opposed to the Red Sox 32 games and not a dead heat at Circa. So both of those are favorable to me. And so that's why I played it where I did for the number that I did.
Shout out to DraftKings, though. You put this in your bet slip, and it has that whole text that right below it.
There
explaining
you go. NCI 95 Gambler was waiting for Gil's bet on most wins in April for MLB. Got it 16-1 at DraftKings. Let's ride, Gil. So again, some people don't have access to Circa on that. Jeff Cam, good morning, men. Gil is the Cliff Notes of gambling, and I should know. I passed high school on Cliff Notes. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad? No, I don't know what that is. I think that's a good thing. Teasers and parlays. MLB monthly win totals are back. Let's go. Got Minnesota 16-1 at DraftKings. Dead heat rules apply there. And then Kofred, thank you, Gil, for the last 2 years of the Vegas lifestyle. Megapod for all the advice, making my first trip to Vegas awesome. Got to Andiamo. right here at the D, Carbone at Aria, Bavette's at Park MGM, Luger's at Caesars, and Yardbird two times at the Venetian. So damn
good. Yeah, that's a good list right there.
Oh, that's all.
That's a good list.
It's all from the Vegas Lifestyle Pod. Okay, Shrek Shrek McPhee, who's not trying to trip us up anymore with any names, says, no funny business today. I'm back after a much-needed two-week hiatus. Football wore me out, ready for the madness. Well, if only we had college basketball expert with us right now. We do. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave joins us at 3MW_CBB for all of Three Man Weave's plays on the Twitter machine, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Matt, does it get better than today? What do you prefer, today or the first morning of March Madness?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'll go March Madness. I've been a snob about conference tournaments in the past. I'm starting to come around to them, though. I used to always get kind of turned off by why are we playing these games and, you know, power, especially the power conferences now. It gives these teams that have really been annoying all year an extra lease on life to rack up big wins when they've had all year to do it. So it's always rubbed me the wrong way. I'm growing, though. I'm evolving. I'm starting to appreciate this. So, yeah, I'll dig in today. Hopefully we have more points than yesterday. One of the all-time ugliest days of college basketball yesterday.
That was brutal.
Some of these shooting percentages were absolutely ghastly.
That was, as a collective day of college basketball, that was pure hell. That was awful to watch. From a non-betting perspective, right, just watching the quality of play. But it is the worst teams in some of the bigger conferences, so maybe to be expected. The Delaware Dream, by the way, did not get there. Mm. We added three more at-large bids yesterday with three small conference bids given out to champions yesterday. Specifically, and I want to get it out, was UNC Wilmington, of course, beating Delaware. Delaware came in to the Colonial Athletic tournament with a 12-19 record and almost got there. One game away, and they gave a big fight yesterday, too. Almost got there. Obviously, Gonzaga, West Coast Conference tournament, they would have gotten in anyway. Northeast Conference, St. Francis of PA gets in on an auto bid yesterday.
With 46 points.
Yes, correct.
46 points.
By the way, we'll add three more today in the Big Sky Patriot League and Southland Championships. Do you have any play in any of those three games?
No, nothing in the title games today. I did have Delaware yesterday. Shout out to the Hens for getting that cover, despite coming up a hen short. Nothing in the title games, Gil. I've been pretty bad betting these historically. I have a few in the power conference ranks, including I do like your DC Hoyas today.
There you go.
That's one of my best bets. Yeah. After a, not sure if you heard Cooley call the defensive effort was the official description of the. Yeah. So I think they bounce back today against the Demons, who are brittle and injured.
All right. Georgetown, play number one. What else you got today?
I'm looking at Seton Hall. I guess I got two Big East games on the card. I know the Pirates offense has been just horrendous. I just think it's a good spot today against a Villanova team that's been off for what I think is too long. They haven't played since last Tuesday. I think this part of the year, maybe while you could argue rest is a good thing, I think rust can also swing the other way as well. They've been feisty in decent spots. They've just caught in some teams at bad times. Their last couple games, Creighton and UConn, both in sort of revenge get right spots. I think they compete with the Nova team that, as we know, under Kyle Neptune, is not great at extending leads. Is not great outside of their own barn in Philadelphia. So I do like the Hall catching doubles there.
All right. Seton Hall catching double digits. Georgetown, what, catching, what are they, 4.5 point, or they're laying 4.5.
Yeah, laying 4.5.
Against DePaul.
Yep, both the Godden.
Okay, so two Big East games to start. We'll get to the conference, if you have any outrights in conferences. Any other individual games today, either big conferences or smaller?
The other one I had was Rutgers. I know it's been sort of a tumultuous year for Steve Peichel. They had all that hype with those two stud freshmen coming in. They're playing USC, and I think this USC team, while they've underachieved as well, I think they're more of a zombie team that's going to wave the white flag pretty quickly. I think Rutgers uses this as all right, this is our last chance to maybe make a miracle run and show that while we haven't defended much of this year, we had a ton of injuries. We had that nasty flu bug that crippled the team for like over a month. I think they're a little bit undervalued right now. I think they play well today. Harper and Bailey kind of use this platform in Indy as a sort of a quasi get right spot. I'm not sure if they're going to win this whole thing at some point starting on Wednesday. Not going to help your odds, obviously. I think they won a couple, though, in this tournament starting today against a, like I said, more of a zombie USC team.
Yeah, got to win five if you're going to do it. By the way, Will Hill came on the show yesterday. He liked Rutgers at 200-1, basically based on the fact you got two lottery picks, right, in Bailey and Harper, and see what ensues. Okay.
You want upside, right?
Yeah. Those are three plays in today's action. What about conference tournaments? that begin today, maybe some that began yesterday, because obviously they're not in full swing yet either. Do you have any outrights in any of these conferences?
So I did look at St. Joe's. I'm not sure what the updated price was there for the A-10 tournament. It's always a crapshoot field, right? It's an all-neutral, very competitive league, especially this season. There's not a lot of separation between kind of the top-end teams and the middle teams. You know, VCU sort of separated themselves, but they lost a few games in conference. I think outside of their own gym, they looked more mortal than invincible. The way I've seen St. Joe's play down the stretch, you know, I'm not the biggest Billy Lang defender. I think St. Joe's fans would probably agree with that, but the talent on this team is pretty sublime. I think we saw them make a little bit of a surge last year in this format. I think we see sort of a deja vu this season. And I need to check the updated price, but that was one I did fire on. The other one was Kent State in the MAC.
8-1, Gil, by the way, on St. Joe's.
8-1. Okay. I think I got 8.5 or 9-1. Okay. 8-1 sounds nothing below that, though. The other one was Kent State in the MAC. Anything better than 2-1. I think they have a great draw. They're playing the best. They have the best sort of DNA in this format against a league that's basically all offense. They actually have some physicality. They can rebound. They've been good in this format before. I saw some 2.5-1. I was hoping to find 3, but anything at 2-1 to better for Kent State, I think that's worth the look. I think the money line rollover actually might be slightly more profitable, a better value. I did some of the projections there. But if you just want to play a future on a team that has a good matchup, good path, I like Kent there too. 2.5-1 better.
Yeah, Kent State plus. I'm seeing a DraftKings plus 240 right now, so just on the cusp of what you're talking about. But shop around. You might be able to find a better price. Kent State, the MAC conference champion, conference tournament, I should say, champion is a play if you can get the right price.
They're 10-point favorites today against Western Michigan. So
okay. And then with the big dance, obviously, you know, now, what is it, 8 days away, not counting the play-in games or probably the first four, whatever we're calling it officially these days. It begins for reals in 8 days. Right now, if I make you sort of pack it down to the teams that can possibly win it, brackets unseen, your list is what? Auburn, Duke, Houston, and who else?
I got Florida on there, and I wanted to check the updated list that you use, Gills. I like your rubric there. But I'll draw the cutoff there for now. I think Texas Tech, maybe. I think St. John's, maybe. Outside of that, I think it's a pretty tight list. Because, like I said, those four is sort of the 1A, and then the other two is sort of the 1B in that upper echelon.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, folks would have said, man, it's wide open. Now everybody's kind of narrowing it down. The formula, what you're referring to, and thank you for that, Auburn, Duke, Houston, all 3 weeks that we've done it so far. With Florida, the only only thing keeping Florida out, Todd Golden has not coached in a Sweet 16 before. So we've only had two exceptions to that through the years. Matt, enjoy the day. Good luck with the bets, man. Thank you.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you.
Golf, the Players' Championship next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusX channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kalei Bidelon, it says right there.
Mm-hmm.
Kalei Bidelon. You ever ask your parents why they went EY instead of just Y?
I don't know, man. It was the 80s. It was weird.
It all comes down to the 80s.
I've asked that. The answer is that was the guy's spelling in the 80s.
Poor responses by parents to questions that really are interesting to you about yourself and their decision-making always was disappointing.
Yeah, that was basically the answer I got, but I'm like, I don't know about you. The only male Kellys I can name don't have an EY. Kelly Slater, Kelly Olynyk. I don't even know who else I'm missing. That's about it.
Kelly Olynyk.
The clinic.
We get, by the way, Jason Weingart standing
Oubre.
By. Paul Sporer about to happen. Kelly from Bad News Bears.
Kelly from Bad News Bears.
Larry Fresh, sweet hat. Always talking about the JVT hat that we were going to see. Again, it's the minor league baseball team, but with the kimchi. Yeah, it's kimchi coming out of a jar there. That's interesting. Okay. Thank you, Larry Fresh. Mikey P. How do you break down your outright golf bets by unit, Kelly Bidlin? I assume he's asking you.
Yeah, good question. I mean, if you see a card where I have, I guess there's not one that I have this week, but if you see outrights and then a top 20 play on a guy and then a tournament matchup, those top 20s and tournament matchups that are usually a little closer to even odds, those are about 4 or 5 times what I'm betting on outrights. So that way to compare it, I guess that helps. But of course, yes, I'm betting more money on the 14-1 on Colin Morikawa than I am on 65-1 to Daniel Berger.
Scott C at C Scotty Books. He says, Matty Cox uncensored on VSiN Plus Plus. He's got the X capitalized. James Sott, you have to be invited by friends to hang out. Laughing emoji. JVT's line towards us.
JVT's always, he's always got to come back locked and loaded. It
he's
was
ready to go. C Spackler also said, yeah, what JVT said. We're taking in, we're taking incoming, Kelly. Nish Gandhi says, I have Bencich 6-1 to win the second quarter. Thanks, guys. At what point do I hedge a little? Nish, I made the bet because I believe in the handicap, so I'm not. You know?
And I'm not because it's tennis. I'm just letting it ride. I'm trusting Gil and letting it ride.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. But of course that's a personal decision. You know, she is either a dog or right about a sort of a coin flip with Coco Gauff today. I like Bencic to win this one. Have her as a bet. Matt Trudel, watching a numbers game online and loving Gil and Kelly hand out their picks, but the on fire VSiN, I guess there's one mode that is playing last night's show. Website live feed is good. So we get a lot of technical analysis from our listeners and what's working, what's not. Let's see here. Okay, and we can go on with these tweets. But we have so much baseball to talk. Let's get to Paul Spohr, because Paul Spohr has got season longs, and he's been kind enough to scour for us. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at Spohr, Sporer. He works at FanGraphs. When he was on last time, we talked about all kinds of different things that he does. You know, the football life, Bill Belichick, or a football life, Joe Gibbs. This is a baseball life, Paul Spohr. He lives like an entire life that is just inundated with nothing but baseball. We should all hope to be like him. He joins us now from Austin, Texas. What's happening, man?
Not too much. I wouldn't go that far that everyone should strive to be like me, but thanks for having me on. It's good to see both of you.
What's with the sweatshirt? What's on the sweatshirt here? What do you got? Pink Panther. There you go. All right.
Yeah, JVT trying to show him up, but wasn't on camera.
Yeah.
Describing things for us to Google.
Dueling guests with their sartorial choices. All right, let's start, Paul, with some individuals, because you've done teams with us on multiple occasions thus far in March. The season, once again, begins in 5 days with two games between the Dodgers and Cubs back-to-back days, and then starts in earnest on March 27th. So what's that, 15 days from now where everybody plays. So this is happening. Let's start with home runs. What did you come up with there?
So home runs, you know, it's a wide open one. You got your super faves. Maybe it's not wide open because if Judge stays healthy, it'll be tough. But he doesn't stay healthy all the time. He's got that gigantic body. We also know that Shohei Ohtani's plate appearances going to get some fewer plate. Like they're gonna play it easy with him. They backed up his pitching program. So those are the two like mega faves. You know we're not going there because why? Why am I going to lock up money for 6 months on that? So we got to start to look off the board a little bit, or down the board a little bit, I should say. And I do have one that's like way low, but we're going to start with Fernando Tatis Jr., who, you know, plus 2,000, I still think there's an MVP here. You look at what he did last year, and I think sometimes people take away the raw numbers and say, oh, he went 21-11. Obviously, the steals don't matter for our purposes here, but I hear that a lot in the fantasy circle. He went 21-11. That's it. It was 102 games. He had 21 homers in 102 games. His slug, his ISO, two power metrics, they got back up last year from the down 2023 that he did have, because he did hit 25 homers in 141 games in 2023. So I think the shoulder was feeling better. I know it is kind of an ever-present thing that kind of looms over Fernando Tatis Jr., but my man is 26. He is still remarkably young. And again, I think there's MVP caliber play in that bat, and that could include, you know, a big 45, 50 plus homer type season. So I think Fernando Tatis is an interesting guy in that favorite realm. And I have an AL version with Brent Rooker, definitely a much less known player comparatively, but he's going to a minor league stadium this year in Sacramento. He cut up Oakland, which isn't like the most difficult place to hit homers in if you have real manpower like Rooker does, but it's a spacious place. The real reason that it played like a pitcher's park, though, was that, eight million acres of foul territory. So, you know, you could get a lot of caught outs there in foul territory. So it really wasn't like the craziest park to hit home run, or the most difficult park to hit home runs in. But going to a minor league stadium for half your games there for Brent Rooker, That's huge. This guy has made fundamental changes. He's one of those analytics guys, like we hear on the promo from Barkley on your show, because he dove into the analytics and saved his career. He was like a DFA, designated for assignment, gone. Twins didn't want him. Royals didn't want him. Latches on with the A's and has become an absolute stud. So I love Brent Rooker, and I think tearing up a minor league park for half your games could be huge. Then we start trickling down a little bit more. You want to talk about a guy who's shown a ton of power over the last few years and is finally going to a great park. I take you to Texas, my home state here. Well, my home state's Michigan, but where I live, Jake Berger going to Texas. It's not the most amazing park to hit in, but my man was hitting 29 bombs in Miami. That is a difficult place to hit for anybody. Mainly because you're on the Marlins, so you have to like deal with that mentally every day. Like, damn, I'm the Marlins. But also because it's a big park.
Yeah.
And he ripped 29 there.
Damn, so, I'm on the Marlins.
He went from the White Sox to the Marlins. And I know the White Sox suck, but at least it was a good park. So that shift was tough for him, but he did not bat an eye. Now he goes to Texas, which is more of a neutral park to hit homers. But again, man strength, real power. When I mean that, I just mean like pure power. He's not somebody who needs to take advantage of his surroundings to hit homers. I think Jake Berger could play 155 games this year and really go off. Former first rounder, has a really interesting story too, if you want to dig into it. Fought through a lot to get here and finally be established, and now finally on a good team. I'm really rooting for Berger just in his general story, in addition to the home runs. He's plus 6,500. And then the long shot. And this one is pure environment based. We're staying in Texas, a little Texas two-step here. Isaac Paredes. Don't say Isaac Parades or something. You're going to sound so white, it's going to be super embarrassing. And he is a pull hitter to the nth degree. And when he was in Tampa Bay, they have a pretty low wall there in left. He's a right-hander. And then even like a little jut out there that makes it even lower. So he's just ripping homers there in Tampa Bay. He goes to Chicago. It is not the same thing. So when he went to the Cubs, that trade did not look good because he didn't really thrive there. Cubs realized that. To their credit, they said, we got to get this guy the heck out of here. Turns out Kyle Tucker was available. And so you definitely want to dig into that. But this was a really good trade for Houston because the Crawford boxes is where Bregman made his name for years. When he ripped 45 homers, just eating up those Crawford boxes. Those are very close. I think Paredes, he's a big-time long shot, plus 11,000 here, but he is somebody who could get going. He's got a 30-homer season under his belt. Could he steamroll and go and drop like a 50 burger? I think he could. It is a long shot for a reason. Let's be clear on that. But I really like Isaac Paredes in Houston as my mega long shot.
All right. Tatis Jr., 20-1. Brent Rooker, 30-1. Then who was after him?
Jake Berger.
Jake Berger, 65-1. And Isaac Paredes at 110-1 from Paul Spohr. Real quick before the break. Because we want to get to a bunch of awards. Strikeouts. Gerrit Cole, obviously, Tommy John surgery, he's out of this. This changes the dynamic, yes?
It does. Let's be honest, though. He was probably not the favorite anyway, but that takes a big dog off the board. You know, on this one, it is tough because I look at the faves. I see Skeens, Crochet, Scooble up there, and I totally get it. I wish we could get a better number on Snell. Stupid books being smart, because I think he could see an innings boost with the Dodgers. They're known for kind of like curating their innings and really tightening up their pitchers. But look at somebody like Tyler Glasnow, who is a lot like Snell. When he was healthy and upright, he was going 6-7 innings every time out. I think that's going to be Snell. If he's healthy, he's going to go, but that means he's more of a favorite. So I like somebody like Cole Reagans in Kansas City, 25-1. Came over from Texas and has been an absolute godsend for them. He is their ace. He's a total stud. But a little bit deeper down the board is somebody named Robbie Ray. You might have heard of him. He's on your favorite team, Gil.
Uh-huh.
And he has a Cy Young to his name. And he called up Tarek Skubal from my favorite team and said, hey, you got a changeup I could work with? And Skubal gave him everything, videos, pictures, grips, all of it. He's going to be having a changeup now to combat righties a bit more. He's already been a strikeout asset before. So I really like Robbie Ray at 45-1. He's my favorite on the strikeouts. Only two names there because I don't run too deep. Reagan's as a little bit more of the favorite. Ray has a little bit of the long shot.
Reagan's 25-1. Robbie Ray, the Giants at 45-1. Love it. All right. Awards. Major League Baseball awards. Paul's got abundance of thoughts. That's on the other side. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to stay, perfect Vegas getaway, I got just the idea for you. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering you 15% off at three incredible properties, Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel, and Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSIN15. That's VSIN15. Book your stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use VSIN15 to get 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. You ever stayed in a room at Circa? Have you?
No.
I haven't either.
We've had this conversation before. I feel bad breaking it back to it.
Did you ever stay at the D when we were there?
No.
I didn't either.
No. There was many times, though, I thought about when I was doing the show on Sunday, how silly it was. I was doing Live Bet Sunday with Dustin. I thought how silly it was. I was driving home at 5 p.m. just to turn around and drive back up there at 5 a.m.
Here's the most common review we hear about Circa. Once again, what is it? You remember what it is?
Great water pressure.
Great water pressure in the showers.
Which I love because that is, I would be one of those people to tell you that too.
But what other hotel in the world do you get the most consensus opinion is, man, that water pressure was fantastic.
Because I think it's very up and down hotel to hotel. Yeah. Like it's never steady. Either you've got something to say about water pressure at every hotel you stay in.
Maybe Derek should lead with that. So forget like Circa Swim and the sports book. Maybe she'd be like, our water pressure is amazing in the showers.
I like it.
Check it out. Paul Sporer joins us now once again from Austin, Texas. Was kind enough to talk home runs and strikeouts with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, he works at FanGraphs, the baseball metrics Bible online, if you will. And Sleeper in the Bus, you still doing the Sleeper in the Bus podcast?
Absolutely. We're churning them out here in draft season. Biggest time of the year for us, for sure.
All right. He's a fantasy maniac. By the way, one ruling, because you mentioned Rooker here in the last segment talking about home runs. The Athletics clearly are not the Oakland Athletics. They're clearly not yet the Las Vegas Athletics. They're playing in Sacramento, but we're not going with Sacramento Athletics. They're just going to appear. No. They're just going to appear as Athletics.
Everything to be as annoying as possible for the organization. It's so stupid. It's ruining everything for like websites and stuff. Well, they're going like the share route or just the Athletics. Get out of here. I hate that. I think that is so terrible. John Fisher, don't get me started. I'll say some inappropriate things.
Oh, Paul, just to add on, I believe it has been messing with John Brown and Brendan Mendez, who do all of our graphics stuff back there, because it's all gets sorted by city, and it's, hey, there's no longer a city attached to it. Great.
And you know, I talked about the game I work for, Out of the Park Baseball. We went live this week. We can't make any references to Oakland either. So they got to go like make sure all that's sharpened up because the current team cannot be referenced as Oakland. So, yeah, it's just, come on, man. What are we doing over there?
Yeah, if you look at like your standings on ESPN.com, it's all the cities and then Athletics right in the middle.
So stupid.
So stupid. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my.
So stupid.
All right, let's get to awards. This is always fun. Where do you want to start here? Want to start with MVP or where do you want to go?
Yeah, let's just start at the top.
Okay.
MVP, it's always fun. And, you know, I'm got to start at the AL MVP and talk about Mike Trout still. I know that sounds crazy because it is. Let's be honest. And we're only getting 16, right? We're not getting crazy odds because they know better. But we saw even last year in the small time he played, he's still a superstar. He just needs to stay healthy, which he doesn't, right? I get it, right? It's the same. We have the same battle in fantasy every year right now where it's like, why do you keep drafting him? Well, the price keeps going down, thankfully. But I'll just give a little trickle shot out there to Trout. It's like a quarter unit type of thing. I wouldn't get silly with it. But I do think voters will be motivated to give him an award if he was able to play like a $140 at Troutian level, even though that team will suck. We've gotten beyond the like team context driving MVP stuff, which is good. However, to go back to one that's on more of a quality team, Jose Ramirez, 15-1. He just keeps churning out brilliant seasons. Love him in the American League. Then my long shot stays in that division and goes to that team that absolutely collapsed last year, which thanks as a Tigers fan, thank you, because the Tigers don't make it without the Twins collapsing. But Royce Lewis is somewhat Troutian in nature in that we're just dying for him to stay healthy. Now, he does not have Trout's legacy by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a former top pick, I think number one overall, in fact, has dealt with tons of injuries coming up through the minors. And then last year on the opening day, you got the perfect microcosm of Royce Lewis in a nutshell. Homer, double, injury out for 3 weeks. Like it would not have been more of the Royce Lewis experience, but he's down here at 65-1. And I still believe that when fully healthy, if fully healthy. Let's say if, because it hasn't been a win yet, right? Let's be honest. But that's why we're getting 65 here. I still believe he has that kind of premier talent on a quality team, which again, doesn't matter as much, but you still don't mind, right? I didn't want to give you three guys on garbage teams because some voters do still let that trickle in or at least be a tiebreaker. I don't agree with that on an individual award. Give it to the best player. They're like, well, then we're not doing most valuable. We're doing best player. Yeah. We should be. That's really what it is. This whole value thing, turning it into a team award, is stupid to me because it's an individual award. But anyway, rant over on that. Let's go to the NL. NL, obviously, I got to give a shout out to Fernando Tatis. Now, he's a favorite, right? He's third behind Shohei and Soto at just 8-1. But I mentioned him as an MVP caliber player in the home run segment. If I'm doing the home runs, I'm probably going to throw a little trickle on the award there too, because I really do think he can get it. He'll get one in his career, in my opinion. Lindor, MVP 2 last year, and in any other year, he probably gets it. But then Shohei had to go 50-50 on him and make it a little bit too difficult. He's not going to go 50-50 again. I talked about that in the first segment as well. Shohei is still going to be great. I understand why he's still the mega favorite, but give me Lindor at 16. I really like that. And then a little bit further down, this guy did not he was part of the team last year that was snake bitten, those Atlanta Braves. I like Matt Olson. I think Matt Olson can drop an MVP caliber type season. He's sitting there 40. And, you know, this is the kind of guy who's already had a 50 homer type season under his belt. When he gets going, he can even bring the average with it because he can't just do the homers. You know, we see, or else Pete Alonso would probably be a better MVP candidate every year, but he can have that all around game. And he can put up some really gaudy runs and ribbies numbers being part of that Atlanta team. So the real, even though he doesn't play a great defensive position at first, he plays a fine first, but it's not a premier defensive position. I still think Matt Olson can very much get in the mix. He's my long shot in the NL.
Yeah.
You have comments on those before we move to the next one?
Yeah, of course, Shohei's going to pitch too, right? So that's the problem in the NL, right?
Right. Well,
yeah.
Allegedly,
right.
We don't really know yet. Like, I mean, they're moving it back. I think he'll eventually pitch this year, but they've been very wishy-washy on
they
it,
have
right?
been. I will give you that. So again, so in the American League, the names mentioned, Mike Trout, Jose Ramirez, and the third one was
Royce Lewis.
Royce Lewis. By the way, I just made a bet on the Twins' most wins in March, April. So if Royce Lewis could do it throughout March, April, I would really appreciate that and not get hurt. Going. And then your NL, once again, the trio was?
Tatis, Lindor, and Matt Olson.
Tatis, again, in both categories, home run and MVP. The only other thing, like the Trout stuff, like, you know, by the way, Royce Lewis was the number one pick in the 2017 Major League Baseball draft, just to clarify what you were saying earlier. I believe it was the 2009 draft where the Angels went Randall Grichuk, Mike Trout back to back.
In that order.
Yeah. In that order, right. Which we always bust on Randy for that. He loves that. But you know, if you all the injuries, just to give you an idea how you think of Mike Trout or think of a peripatetic player like Grichuk, Mike Trout career has 954 RBI. Randy has 602. That just tells you like how much Trout has been hurt, right? When it gets to counting stats. And think about how you think of those players. It's not that big of a gap because of all the injury. All right, what's next?
Let's go to Cy Young here. And again, it is a little bit tough because you look at those favorites and they're really, really appealing. Skubal on a repeat, Crochet going to Boston. I get it. I mentioned, Cole Reagans as somebody for the strikeouts. Again, if you want to double dip, I get it. But he is 10-1. So you're really still playing a favorite there. Would have been so geeked to give you George Kirby if he wasn't hurt. And he can still win it because I don't believe that he's going to be out for a long time. That was the least scary of the injury news that we got recently with George Kirby. But I'm probably not going to do a six-month bet on somebody who's already injured. That's just not very prudent with your money. However, if you want to go to a teammate of his, Bryce Miller took a huge step forward last year. He developed a splitter to take care of lefties, and it really, really helped. He's 35-1. He's a bit of a long shot. They have five aces when everyone's healthy there, basically. But Bryce Miller and Brian Wu are kind of secondary to Gilbert and Kirby, but they're rising. And I do think Bryce Miller is a fun long shot there. Framber Valdez is a guy I just love. He churns out innings. He's still on a quality team. I know Houston traded Cal Tucker, but they did very well in that trade. I mentioned it with Isak Paredes earlier. Cam Smith, foreshadowing. I'll be talking about him in a moment. I think Framber Valdez could still get a Cy Young for sure as well. And then the Twins. Another guy at 17-1 like Framber is Pablo Lopez. Honestly, I like any – if you like a twin, frankly, I should probably say Bailey Ober over Lopez. In fact, let me switch that. Take take Lopez off and go to Ober, because they're not that different. They're kind of the Spider-Man pointing meme at each other in terms of their quality of skills. And yet Lopez is 17-1 and Bailey Ober is 100-1. So definitely get me Ober here. I did not see him on the board originally. Even Joe Ryan at 40, I would rather do than Lopez, just because I'll take the better number when all three guys are the same. So those are the guys I like. In the NL, I didn't really land on anybody I like. The favorites are too strong. So I apologize for not really having a guy there. Spencer Schwalbach at 40, maybe. And then I hear the music, but Colson Montgomery at 25-1 in the Rookie of the Year, and Cam Smith, 40-1 AL Rookie of the Year as well. I like two AL guys. NL, Matt Shaw, he's a favorite. Don't bet on him. It's too chalky.
Spectacular, Paul. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Great talking with you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
You too. Paul Spohr at Spohr, chock full of bets and his thoughts. Jason Weingarten next.